Alrighty. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Welcome to Community of Grace. And those of you on Facebook, welcome to you. Let me open us up in prayer, and we'll get started here. So, Father, we thank you for our time today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to get into your Word and to pull the richness out of that and see how it affects our lives and impacts our lives. Father, I just invite your presence to come and just to fill this place, Lord. I pray that you just come and just rest on every person here, everybody that walks into the room, Father, that your presence would just land on them. Lord, I pray that we would have a time of encounter with you, powerful experience with you. Lord, we just thank you for you, Lord God. We thank you for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome here. Come and have your way with us. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last week we began a focus on the book of Ephesians. We started off by looking at the Apostle Paul's theme or his time in Ephesus to give us more of a feel for the place to where he was writing to. And as we did, we saw that Ephesus then is much like our world today. As with Paul in those days, we too, as believers, have a comfort and a help in God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to encourage us and empower us today as they did in Paul's days. We started off by looking at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and in looking at those verses, we talked about the grace and peace that Paul blesses the readers in Ephesus with. He blesses them with peace and grace. But also that the book of Ephesians is for us, the believers of today as well. And that the peace and that peace that he talks about, that peace is a knowing. It's a confidence in God that he hears and knows our situations. And that his peace is not just with us, it is in us because he is in us. Therefore, we take him, we take his peace, we take his presence into everywhere we go and into everything that we do. And that he just doesn't know our situations, he has our situations. And we're also blessed with grace. Grace is a gift from God that he gives us. It's not earned. It's just given to us from God as he wills. Verses 3 and 4 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him in love." So Paul then praises God who has blessed us, both in Ephesus and in us today, with every spiritual blessing. You know, we need to not get so caught up in things that we miss the blessing that we miss the blessings that God has blessed us with today. As God's children, we have the divine privilege of resources from God that are ours because we're his children. And that these blessings are spiritual and are the blessings of what God does inside of us. In whatever our circumstances are, he is in control in us. And so whatever is going on with us, we can overcome it because he is victorious in us regardless of what is going on around us. We have his peace, that peace that is not based on our circumstances, that peace is based on who is inside of us. And who's inside of us is Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But it goes on to say, it says, "God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." That's verse 3. The heavenly places are not a geographical location, but rather it's a place where God reigns, where we reign with him. And it says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing where he reigns, which means that you are a child of his because you, as a child of his, you already have the blessing. Where you let him reign, the blessings are seen. Because when you let him reign, you can see them. They're there. But how many times do we not see the blessings of God? Because he's not reigning. When we let our circumstances, our situations control us, he's not reigning. And where he's not reigning, we're not able to see the blessings that are already there. And we have these. Just like he chose us to be his people before the world began. You know, that we would be holy. We would be set, which means to be set apart, to be his for what he has for us to do. But also blameless before him because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And all of these things were done for us by God and Jesus in love before we were ever born. So let's go in and pick up where we left off at verse 4 and go on from there in Ephesians chapter 1. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we would be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. The beloved is who you are. Verse 4 ends with, in love, he predestined us to adoptions as sons. And I will also add in there, daughters. You're welcome. You know, through Jesus himself. Now, predestined here is a word that can trip some people up. Okay, predestined here means that this was always God's plan. He had decided before he made the earth that he was going to save us. He decided before he made the world that he would restore the relationship that he knew that man would ruin. See, predestined doesn't mean that your choices are taken away. God is God, and because God is omniscient, meaning that he knows everything, past, present, and future, and he is all-wise in that he knows what to do with that knowledge that he has. And all of these are absolute. Meaning that there is no one more wise or more knowledgeable than God. We are the created, okay? And people sometimes try to understand God through how we are. And some struggle with the concept of an omniscient being that knows what is going to happen before it happens. And so they may twist that to mean that he controls everything, and that's why he knows what's going to happen. But God is God, and God is all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise, and he has given us free will, the ability and the right to choose. And because he is God, he knows what we're going to do, because he's God. And because he's God, he doesn't control us. God is love. Love does not control. He may guide us, he may direct us, but the choices will always be ours. See, the thing about it is this. If he controlled us, then how could we be judged and held accountable by him? We couldn't. But we can if we're able to make choices. So because he loves us, he already had a plan before the world began to send Jesus to pay the price for the sins that he knew we were going to commit, thus removing that sin and restoring the relationship between us and God. You know, for those who receive him and what he did. And he just chose to do this out of his love and his kindness, and that's it. It says at the end of verse 6, it says, to the praise and the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. God just chose to do this out of his love for us. And that's it. And that's grace. You know, getting what you didn't earn and getting what you didn't deserve. And we praise him and we'll continue to praise him for his great grace. Going on to verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. So because of what Jesus did, we have redemption through the shed blood of Jesus. This means that we are bought and paid for. We belong to the Lord. When Jesus died for you, he bought you. He paid the price for your sin. And so now we belong to him. We are his. And we're paid for with the shed blood of Jesus, which delivered us from our sin and delivered us from death. We're not just his. We are his adopted children. We have been cleansed. We have been forgiven according to the depth and the riches and the fullness of God's grace, which is great. And this rich grace has been lavished on us, it says here. It's just poured out on us in huge amounts. I mean, think about it. I mean, think about all that Jesus went through for you. Tell me that isn't that grace lavished on you. When was the last time somebody died for you, suffered horribly for you? He lavished this upon us. You know, and all this was done in his wisdom and his planning and understanding, which goes so much deeper than ours. You know, he knows the truth. He is truth. And he knows what to do, and he has all of the answers, and he sees it all totally and fully with nothing missing. He sees it from every angle and has wisely planned it all out. Now, that should be important to us because in a world where we wonder where truth really is right now, where we wonder if people know what they're doing, you know, we have a God who plans and knows and really understands like none of us ever will. He really does have all the answers, with nothing missing, nothing left out or forgotten. It is all really there, and he's got it, and he shares it with us, and he pours it on us. It goes on to say in verse 9, it says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention which he proposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, which works all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. So God has made known to us his will. Now, one of the big mysteries that so many Christians wrestle with is, what is God's will? Well, God is bringing things into order. God is bringing things into his order. And another word for this would be, God is bringing everything into a place of peace and harmony. And God is moving everything along in a direction. He's moving everything in the world in a direction. Everything in the world, everything in the universe and in all creation, everything is moving in a direction according to his plan. He's moving everything in his love and in his kind desires because, you know, God wants the best for us. And so everything is being moved in a direction in his love and in his desire for and his kind desire for us. You know, he is and has been doing this all along, all through history. Okay? And he's doing this through Jesus. Through Jesus he's bringing everything into order. He is, you know, into his order. See, Jesus wasn't just sent to save us, but to also show us God, to help us understand God. You know, through Jesus, who is God, but also to understand, not only to understand God, but also to help us understand ourselves and God's plan for everything and how it all fits together and where it's all going, which will end with us being with God, which is our inheritance in heaven, being with him forever. Living and existing as that which God cherishes. See, God cherishes you. God cherishes you. Which explains why he sent Jesus to die for you. He paid such a great price because you're so important to him. And in his plan, ultimately, he wants you with him forever. He loves us with a love that's everlasting. And this is our inheritance. Our inheritance as a believer. You know, it's being in heaven with the God who loves us as his possession that he values. We are his now, yeah. You know, as soon as you come into that relationship with him, guess what? You're his. But we will be with him forever in his realm, in heaven, where he reigns, and we will be the demonstration of his greatness. We are now. But there in heaven, we will also exist with him forever. And seeing and reflecting him unhindered. You know, we had God's presence powerfully show up last week. That's just a fraction of what we have waiting for us. Every time you experience him, every time you feel a touch from him, every time you feel his presence, it's a touch. It's a preview of what's coming for us in his presence forever. If you thought this was something last week, you ain't seen nothing yet. You're going to get your socks blown off forever. It's like a joyride that never ends. And it brings him glory. We bring him glory. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. So after listening to Jesus' words in the Gospels of how to be saved, and an example of this would be John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. After hearing and receiving the message of Jesus coming from God to die for us so that we would be saved, once we hear and receive that message of who Jesus is and what he did for us, and we receive that for ourselves, and we enter into that saving relationship with him as our Lord and our Savior, we are given his Holy Spirit who lives in us. And this is the helper that Jesus spoke of to the disciples during their final supper together. John 14:16. I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. But the Holy Spirit that lives in us is not just a helper. He's the living proof in us of everything that God says. You want proof of the things that God says? Look at that Spirit that lives in you. That Spirit that shows himself in you. Every time that Spirit shows himself, it's saying, guess what? I am the proof of everything that God says. And that proof is living inside of you. Every promise that he has made, when his Spirit shows itself, guess what? It's saying, guess what? Your promises are true. And they will come about. And if you want proof of that, look at that Spirit that's bubbling up in you right now. That's your proof. And it's in you. He in you is the proof. He's the guarantee, not only of everything that he says, but he is also the proof and the guarantee of your salvation. One of the things that happens with a lot of believers is they have these moments where they doubt their salvation. Am I really saved? Well, guess what? When you feel the Spirit, when you see that Spirit rise up, guess what? That's your proof that you are saved. Because if you weren't saved, His Spirit would not be in you. So if His Spirit is in you, guess what? You are saved. And that proof is in you. You carry it around with you all the time. But that Spirit is also a preview. It's a taste. It's a sample of what is coming for you in paradise with Him. So when we go into worship and the Holy Spirit manifests Himself in our worship, guess what? God is proving all these things to you. When you see that and you experience that, God is saying, guess what? This is proof of everything that has just been said. And so Paul starts off his letter to believers in Ephesus of God's plan and how it all relates to us and why the rest of the world needs Jesus. It goes on to say in verse 15, "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." And so because of his plan that we've talked about and because of all that Jesus has told us and because of the Holy Spirit that we have being the proof of everything, and Paul himself having received this as well, and we know Paul received it because we talked about Paul's conversion last week from Acts chapter 9 when he was on the road to Damascus. And so Paul is grateful to the believers in Ephesus, and he's praying for them. Because of all these things that we talked about. And guess what? Those believers in Ephesus, they have work to do. And guess what? We have work to do too. The whole world needs Jesus, and we have the message. And we have and are therefore the proof of that message. Because He lives inside of you. So the proof of Jesus is in you. And it's proof of everything that He did. And it's in you. And this is one reason, all of this really is a reason why it's so important for us to come together in person like we do and engage the presence of God together in person like this. And feel His presence and the power that comes with that in our times together. Whether it's when we're maybe you feel it during the message or during the worship time, because when you feel it, it encourages us. But in addition to encouraging us, of proving to you that His promises are true, the other thing that it does for us is this. It introduces us, it gets us accustomed to being a people that walk in that power and walk in that presence so we could be His witnesses. And this is one reason why worship time together is so important, why engaging the presence is so important. We get accustomed to being people that walk in the presence. In being His witnesses. And so Paul encourages them to never give up, to never quit in your walk and your witness, not just for you, but for the world that needs what you have. Especially, as we've said, in times like these that we're in right now. As we said last week, you know, for the people in Ephesus and us in our world today, which is kind of our Ephesus, you know. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 says, "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints." So Paul prayed for them that God, who sent Jesus, would give believers in Ephesus a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God. Now, wisdom is knowing what to do with what you have. It's knowing what you have, where it came from and why you have it and what you're supposed to do with it and how you're supposed to do it. But also, it's how to live with it and live in it. It's experience. When we come into our times together and we encounter His Spirit, the other thing about it is we are entering into an experience. But it's also relationship, because the Holy Spirit is a person who lives in you, who empowers you and encourages you. And so it's not just knowledge, but it's intimate knowledge. Intimate knowledge that comes from experience. It's like a husband and a wife relationship, okay? Where two people come together in that kind of a relationship and they know one another unlike they know anyone else because of the unique kind of relationship that they have. There's things that they learn and know and understand about one another because of that relationship that happens through the experience of being in that kind of relationship together. And it's the same way with us and the Holy Spirit. It's us coming together as believers, and we encounter Him experientially. And in that experience, we learn things, and we grow in things as well as experiencing them. And we're doing this with the Holy Spirit. And so, as we experience Him and gain this wisdom and knowledge and revelation, it opens our eyes. It enlightens us. It gives us an understanding that can only come from experience. And there are things that one can try and explain to one another, but until they're experienced, you're only going to understand so much. You know, I could read a manual on how to repair something, but until I actually put the tools in my hand and follow the instructions, I'm only going to learn so much. Once I actually get in there and do it, I learn so much more from the experience. And so as we experience Him and we gain this wisdom and knowledge and revelation, it opens our eyes and enlightens us. Again, it gives us that understanding that only comes from experience. And what we come to know and understand is, one, we come to understand the hope of God's calling. You have received the call of relationship. That's what led you to come into that relationship with Him. You've been, and once you did come into that relationship with Him, you were forgiven, you were cleansed of your sin. You are God's adopted child. And you possess God's Holy Spirit and the power and the wisdom that comes with that. But you also come to know what are the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in us. You know, you are God's beloved possession. And that's your inheritance. You know, we belong to God. You belong to the God of the universe. Amen. The God of power and glory and majesty, to which there is no equal. You belong to Him. And with that, we come to know and understand the power of God. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." You know, the power that works within you because of who is in you. The power that you feel when God imparts something to you. The power that is released when you pray for someone. And you see them get healed, or you see them get touched, or someone prays for you and you get healed or you get touched. You know, that's that power working in you and flowing through other people. You know, we talk about prophecy. You know, when prophecy is released, you know, it's the same thing. You know, it's that power working within us, God giving us something for someone else. Words of knowledge, the same thing. You know, getting information about something that you had no way of knowing it. Coming to you from the power of God that is released in you in that moment. And these things are just samples of what works within you because of who lives in you. So every time you see these things, it's a testimony of who is in you. And what all this does is it gives us a picture of something greater. Something that is in front of us. Something that's coming. Something that is down the road that is coming. As well as what is right here in the moment. God is able to be present, and at the same time, He's in the future, preparing a place for you. But what all this does is it gives us a focus. It centers us. It centers us in a world that continually tries to throw us off balance. You know, it gave the believers an Ephesus of focus amidst the corruption and the greed and the evil and the immorality of their time. And it gives us a focus for the evil and the confusion and all these things in our time as well. When we get confused, when we get discouraged, and we get too caught up in all that is going on, it centers us and focuses us, and it reminds us of who we are and what we have and where it's all going and of our place in it all. Verse 19 of Ephesians 1. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Paul then goes more into the power of God here. Because we need His power in our lives. We need His power for our witness and for our own encouragement. But think about this for a minute. God, the Creator, the Sustainer of the universe, of all that there is, has extended power to you. Thank you. And this is the same power that was seen in Jesus. In the signs and the wonders that He did, in the healings that He did, in His authority over the elements when He would calm the storm with the word, when He would do creative miracles like feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, knowing the hearts and thoughts of people, prophesying over them, giving words of knowledge, but also the wisdom that He walked in, the cases that He would make, the wise, learned people that He would stump with the words that He said. But also, it's the same power that rose Jesus from the dead. After He had been beaten and pierced and whipped and ripped to pieces and reduced to a bloody mess, God raised Him. And not only did He raise Him, He seated Him at the right hand of God, meaning that He conquered death, not just death in the physical, but the power to face and conquer death in our trials and our temptations. Those things that are challenging, those temptations, those things that try to kill our spirit, those things that try to extinguish our hopes and knock us down and keep us down, God has given us power over these things too. We have also been empowered with new life. You know, you're not that old person anymore. Not only did that old person in us die and a new person rise up when we came into that saving relationship with Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. At conversion, we are changed. But also, a process begins in us to make us more and more like Him. Jesus, in His death, took on the sins of the world, and they died with Him on the cross. And God rose Him from that, whereas Ephesians 1, 21 through 23 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. God raised Jesus from the cross and the grave to the place of honor and authority, in that place where God reigns. And Jesus has been given all power, authority, and dominion, and there is no name higher than His. God gave Jesus the power to rule and reign over everything. And guess what? The power that did all that also empowers you to reign with Him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. If we endure with him, we also will reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. These are Paul's words to Timothy. God had the power to raise Jesus and place him at the right hand with all the power and authority that goes with it, and God has the power to place us in a position of reigning with him. This is the power of God. This is the power that is working in us. And the proof of that power is the Spirit that is working in you. He's not just working in you. Every time he does it, it's a reminder to us of the power that we have, of who lives in us, of his promises to us, and that have been kept, and the ones that are still awaiting us, and of whose you are, who you belong to, and of your true identity. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body of the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether good things on earth or things in heaven." That is a definition of real power. The power that God gave Jesus and the power that we have in Jesus. And his Spirit of power is in us, and it's proof and the testimony of his power working in us and of who we are in him. So when we get discouraged, when we become fearful, when we get confused by what's going on in the world around us, we need to remember who we are and what we have and what is eternally in front of us. This world is not forever. This world is temporary. We get all caught up in this one. It's passing away. But all that you have in Christ is eternal. And you're walking in a sample of it right now. Every time it pops up in you, guess what? That's proof of that. And this world cannot take that from you. It can't. But we can lose sight of it. When we don't let him reign, that's what the enemy tries to do. See, he can't take what you have in Christ, so he tries to get us to take our eyes off of it. And once we do, we're not reigning with him. Let's let Jesus reign. Let's let Jesus reign in us. Let's remember that we have what is ours in spite of all that is swirling around us. The Spirit in us is our proof and reminder of who we are and what we have. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for everything you've done for us. Lord, I thank you for all the promises that you have made, that you have kept, and the ones that are in front of us that are yet to come. And we know these promises are true because of the Spirit that lives in us. Lord, we just thank you for all that you did, Lord Jesus. We thank you for you, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you live in us and you're reigning in us. And I thank you how you partner with us and use us to impact others who need what we have. Lord, I just thank you for everything you've done and all that we have and how it encourages us in a world that is so crazy. I thank you that we have a hope for something better. And it's a hope, we're hoping in something that is real and true and really is coming. It really is. And because of where we are in you, what we're hoping for is ours. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that we have, for all that you've done, and all that we're going to have. And we just give you praise and glory and honor. And we just pray this in your name. So as I said last time, I'm not going to read the questions. You have them on the papers in front of you. And it's also been posted on our webpage for those of you that are watching us on Facebook. We also sent it out. And so you can read those questions and reflect on those. But what I want to do is I just want us to bow our heads. And I just want us to enter into a moment of just reflecting on what we talked about this morning. And this is the time to be thinking about yourself. Don't be worrying about your neighbor, just think about yourself. And think about your relationship with Jesus. And think about all that you have in Him. Everything that we talked about today, He did for you because of His great love for you. And He lives in you. His Spirit lives in you. And so you are not only His beloved child, you're a person of power. That power is in you. And every time you see that power displayed, it's proof of who you are. It's proof of who's inside of you. And it's proof of the promises that are coming. And as you think about your situations and you think about your life and all that's going on, not just in our world, but in your own personal lives as well, you're a person of power. You're a person that doesn't have to be under the heel of your situations. You are a person of victory right now. Right now. Because of who lives in you. Who is always in you, even when sometimes you don't feel very powerful. So Lord, I just pray for the Spirit that is in each one of us to rise up, to speak to us, to encourage us, to bubble up in us, and encourage us and fill us with your joy and just show us God in that special way that you do it with each of us individually while you do it in a room where we're all together. Just show yourself to us for our encouragement. Just sit in His presence. Lord, just come in your fullness right now. Come and just land on each and every one of us. We would just right now, where we're sitting, just have a little encounter with you right now. Tune out everything else. Just focus on Him. Feel Him rising up. Feel that feeling in you that is uniquely Him. Hear His voice speaking to you, that voice that sounds like, that doesn't sound like anything else. Those times where you have felt Him before, you feel Him rising up right now. That's your proof. That's your hope. That's your encouragement. And you've got that all the time. Not just when you sit in the auditorium here. You take it with you out there. Everywhere you go and in everything you do, every day. Just sit with Him. Just rest with Him. Just take a minute to do that. Lord, we just thank you for being here. I thank you that you live and reign in each of us. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement of that. I thank you that today, in our time, in the rest of our time this morning, and even into our week, God, that you would reign in us and in our situations. And that we would remain the powerful people that we always have been in whatever we're facing. And that this time, we would see them and face things a little bit differently. Because our focus is on you reigning and not us being under our circumstances. I thank you for what is available to us. It's always been there. Once we entered into that relationship with you, it was there. Thank you, Lord, for a God that gives us everything we need even before we realize that we have a need. You're so good. And we just give you glory, and we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.